Blog Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. Today, got a nice little show planned out for you guys. We're going to be discussing wrap-up of the Daytona 500. And the reactions of it as well. Cover a little bit of FIFA, the FA Cup of today. Got some Manchester City action going on later. And as well, we'll be discussing some WWE actions. So, sit back, relax, get your cup of coffee ready, get whatever you need ready, and come in and join me. Phone line is 215-383-5764 if you want to discuss these things. So we'll enjoy this nice little tune. And afterwards, we will discuss these topics. Enjoy. Daytona 500 wrapped up, right? Austin Dillon is the winner, and it was a good race. Like, the race held up to the expectation of what the Xfinity Series did. There was a lot of blocking. A lot of young drivers are realizing, I need series points to be able to get into the playoffs as well as, you know, the big win. I like the design how NASCAR did it. Like, you need points if you're not going to win the race. If you know you're not going to win the race, you're better off getting sectional points. And hats off to NASCAR. That was by far the best Daytona 500, I think, in like 5 years. Kudos to Austin Dillon. I mean, I had to do to my fantasy team, but we're not discussing that. I mean, people going to call it dirty racing, but in my opinion, that right there is how the race should have gone. I mean, if you see it, take it. No matter who you are, gloves are off for the Daytona 500. So if you're not a NASCAR fan, I'm sorry to be spouting the air, but like I said, oh my Lord, it was, oh, you got to YouTube it. You just got to YouTube Austin Dillon. Daytona 500 win and just see the replay, and it was just ridiculous. I mean, each series race had something exciting going on. I mean, granted, half of my team was wrecked out or a lap down. Jeffrey Earnhardt barely cracked the top 20. I mean, oh, it was amazing. But like I said, we're on to Atlanta, my Bill Belichick voice type of way. But the reactions this morning to Daytona 500 is a lot of people are not happy with how Austin Dillon handled, you know, taking first place. I mean, I don't know if it's the new generation or people not understanding, like, if you see it, take it. You're going to get the W for your team and your sponsors no matter what. That's how people got to realize majority of these drivers are going to see it. If you see a hole, you're going to take it. I mean, granted, in today's sports league, a player is going to put himself on top of someone else to be able to get that win. It was just, I don't understand the reactions I'm seeing on social media with people not too happy with actual NASCAR racing being back. I mean, what more does NASCAR have to do to be able to rally in everyone so everyone's pleased? I mean, is it an impossible question to ask? Most likely, is it impossible for the fans to rally around, you know, NASCAR after all these changes and realize, hey, racing's back? I don't know. I can't answer everyone's questions. I can't answer how everyone feels, how everyone reacts. But one thing I can answer is I'm excited. I'm in love with it. I'm happy that NASCAR is finally back to racing rather than just watching left turns and everyone get in line. I'm loving the idea that the young drivers are coming in and racing everyone to lead. Like, those young guys want to lead. They don't want to be in the 10th. They want to be second. They want to lead. And Jimmy Johnson wrecked out due to that result. I mean, stage one, they were racing to the finish to get the stage one points, and a wreck occurred between Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano was a little loose, and the next thing you know, there was like a three-car pileup, and Jimmy Johnson ended up as the victim. He wasn't too happy, but in his Jimmy Johnson voice, professionalism type of way, you could tell he had to keep his cool for the cameras. But we're on to Atlanta. This should be where majority of the stuff plays out more. Practices starts this week. I mean, the biggest thing I learned in my fantasy lineup is you can't just select the drivers off their name and who you like. You literally got to pay attention to the practice results before the qualifications to know who has a good car setup. Bubba Wallace, though, Bubba Wallace Jr., first African-American to actually finish second in the Daytona 500. That is groundbreaking for the world of NASCAR. I mean, who would have thought a young driver, Bubba Wallace, coming in for RCR, and he's going to hold his second spot down. I mean, RCR finished 1-2. That's a good night for RCR right there. But what I didn't like is how Denny Hamlin seemed to run Bubba Wallace's car up into the wall. I mean, Denny Hamlin said, well, he cut my tire after, you know, the race was over. I mean, yeah, the dude was kind of close, but he was side drafting you. So the reaction I saw how the car went up on the skirt after the crossing the finish line, that was just totally uncalled for in my book. Me, my conspiracy is Denny Hamlin was mad because he went from first to third and didn't like the idea that he could have won and didn't. So he took his aggression out on who? Bubba Wallace, the guy who, you know, took his second spot. But Denny Hamlin has to understand he's a veteran too. You got the points. You're going into next week with decent points. So whatever you do, you got to keep a cool head. Bubba Wallace is keeping a cool head. Been following his Twitter account. I mean, the dude's positive. I'm a huge fan of Bubba Wallace. Going from a Junior Nation fan, now the Junior's retired. I have a driver I can actually sit behind and root for now. I mean, the whole entire Daytona 500, I was like, who do I root for? I don't want to be a bandwagoner. Oh, my God. And so I did what a fan should do coming into the sport. You sit down, watch the race, and you fall in love with the driver. And that's what I did. Bubba Wallace stayed in the top 10 the whole entire race. His pit crew was on point. His team was on point. I mean, if anything less, Austin Dillon should hand Bubba Wallace the trophy, because if without Bubba Wallace being up there to assist him with that last push, Austin Dillon could have been easily in third place, and we could have been talking about a different outcome. So I'm going to keep the break short on this podcast because I realize it's probably killing a lot of my airtime with you guys, whoever listens in on this. That's going to wrap up the NASCAR portion of it. We're going to go to a song real fast, and when we come back, we're going to discuss the FA Cup today. Manchester City coming in hot. Like I said, keeping the breaks short, and you guys didn't believe me, but here I am. So if you want to discuss anything within wrestling, FIFA, and NASCAR, you can call 215-383-5764, and we'll get you in, and we'll discuss whatever topic you want, peeps. So today's the FA Cup. Let me check what round, because I haven't really been following soccer as much as I should. Today is the Champions League. Today's FA Cup, fifth round. So you got Manchester City against Wigan Athletic. Not too sure how good Wigan Athletic is. But lately, I've been following the previous matches in Manchester City, and between the FA Cup and the Champions League, they've been on a mad tear. I mean, yeah, they got a draw with Leicester City, which in my opinion, Leicester City is not really that good of a club. But I mean, if you're in the FA League Cup, you're good enough in my book. But lately, the past eight matches, Manchester City has been on a tear with either a two-goal or more domination victor over their opponents. Now, I didn't look at the scrub sheet, didn't look at the roster. I don't really know who the star player is. Due to the fact I'm a Manchester United type of guy. That's my biggest thing. Huge Manchester United fan. Manchester City, biggest rivals. Don't want to see them do good. But honestly, I see Manchester City coming out on top in this match today. My prediction, if you ask me, I'm going to give it to you, is Manchester City 3 and, you know, their opponent Wigan. I'm going to say nothing because, I mean, the defense, what I've been reading on Manchester City, has been amazing, phenomenal. I mean, nothing that you could ask for with a premiership team. Manchester City has it. I mean, they've already conquered the Premier League. They already have that in the books. I mean, just mark it off in the check, hand those boys the trophy. At the end of the day, we're going to see Manchester City rolling through this game with no issues, no problems at all. I mean, with that said, I could never see a Manchester City team dominating as fast as I've seen them, because opening the Premier League, everything I thought was going to be Manchester City early. I mean, not Manchester City, Manchester United early. I mean, as a fan, I'd love to see Manchester United do good things. I'd love to see them dominate. But opening of the Premier League, Manchester United could not get any, like, wins that their life depended on. They got a lot of draws, but not a lot of wins. I mean, that's what killed us in the Premier League for a majority of time until, you know, our players started coming back from injury, until we started getting acquisitions from other players who wanted to go to another clubs. I mean, after that, that's when the ball started turning for Manchester United. But Manchester City, on the other hand, it seemed like once the season started, they started getting that grind going. It seemed like nobody could stop them. And after I started realizing that, I was like, oh, Lord, this is going to be a longer season than what I thought. Because I'm looking at the Premier League standings, and the points is like Chelsea, not Manchester City, I stand corrected. Chelsea has has a good 93, Tottenham Hotspur 86, and then you got Manchester City with 78. I mean, Manchester United is not even cracked on top of there. I mean, like I said, it was not a good, I mean, yeah, they're six, but it was not a good, you know, season for the amazing Red Devils, like I would call it. But biggest thing to look out for if you're watching the FA Cup today is how fast Manchester City can control that ball. They control the ball for majority of the matches I've watched them in, and the match gets boring, but that's how you win. You got to wear down the defense, back four. You just got to let the goalie know you're there every now and then. I mean, it's not going to be a breakaway game like we're expecting, but on top of it, I see Manchester City coming out with, you know, that dub, I like to call it. So I'm looking at the Premier League schedule. Saturday, they always play. You got Leicester City and Stoke. Let's see where the amazing Manchester City plays. That's the biggest thing. So, yeah, I got Manchester United against Chelsea this Sunday, 9:05 a.m. for us Americans. I mean, that's going to be a good game. So, hopefully the Red Devils show up. If not, then Chelsea just continues on getting those, you know, amazing 3 points. Crystal Palace, Tottenham Hotspur, that should be a good game in my book. I'm going to go with Tottenham Hotspur in that one. Everton, I just laugh when I see them. So, yeah, I mean, I really don't see Manchester City at all so far, unless they play later on in the week. Yep, there they do. So Sunday, 11 a.m., it's going to be Chelsea against Manchester City. That's March 4th. That right there is going to be a good game. I mean, that game could go either way. It could go into a draw. It could go into basically someone takes the one, you know, the one upper goal. I mean, honestly, Manchester City's playing good soccer. I'm about to say football, but soccer. They could end up as the FA Cup victors, either or. But like I said, my biggest thing takeaway is I got today Manchester City walking away 3-0. Mark it, say it as it is. That's just who I have. So with that said, I'm going to go to break. I got the amazing chat box trying to populate. But with that said, I'm going to have to, during the break, I'm going to bring the chat box up. And when I come back, we're going to discuss WWE. So the remainder of this show is going to be discussing wrestling. So with that said, if you want to call in 215-333-5764. And we will be right back. Oh, So, for all my WWE fans, all that fun stuff, the Elimination Chamber is coming up this month. I mean, I got the top cards pulled up here. I've been somewhat happy with how the storylines have been going in Raw and SmackDown, but then again, NXT has been blowing the headway out of the water. I mean, it's not on the topic discussion, but lately, NXT, in my book, has been outshining WWE Raw and SmackDown for a hot minute ever since their takeover. I mean, lately, it seems the WWE is having issues with getting pushes, pushing people in the right spot and keeping fans happy. I mean, with Ronda Rousey coming into the WWE, I think that's going to kill off a lot of characters' push. Could it be fair? Yeah, who knows? That's the way the business goes. But in my book, I don't see it fair at all with saying, hey, I know you just came into the WWE. I got faith in you. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to push you. I'm going to make you a name. And then halfway to WrestleMania, can you imagine being that rookie? Halfway to WrestleMania, you got a name going like a, what's the Asian wrestler's name? Aruka, however you say it. Can you imagine being her getting pushed so hard and you're about to get the title, and then all of a sudden, after the Royal Rumble, here comes Ronda Rousey, a big announcement saying, hey, I'm here, so that's going to be the female version of Brock Lesnar. Watch out, peeps, I'm telling you. Her coming in, the way they brought her in, is already setting up for a lead way of she's going to be treated just how Brock Lesnar was treated in the WWE. I mean, I'm not bashing on the girl. I'm not attacking her. I don't attack any celebrities or any sports athletes because it takes a lot to put yourself out there and take up your time to entertain us. But I honestly believe it's the wrong route the WWE looks like they're about to take with Ronda Rousey, with Brock Lesnar going back to the UFC after WrestleMania. I honestly don't like the idea of seeing that Ronda Rousey is just going to be having her name put out there, pushed automatically ahead of everyone else, and boom, we're here with a reigning champ of Ronda Rousey. I mean, they did it with Charlotte Flair. She had to work her way up from NXT, get her name out there, work up the big times, and now she's a champ of who she is now. I mean, that right there is respectful. If they were going to listen to Ronda Rousey, I mean, yeah, if you put her in NXT, you put her in with a bunch of people that are still building her name, but at least you're giving them credit of the due. They should have put Ronda Rousey in NXT, had her sign her contract, work it out as if they were taking this long, just so that we can get debuted on what we're looking at. Because as fans, we don't know what we're looking at with Ronda Rousey. Like, what moves? Is it going to be just like Brock Lesnar? You come in with the gloves and do some haymakers, and all of a sudden you got, you know, a submission move or some type of ender move that's just going to say it all? I mean, honestly, I don't know what to say. So many things could happen with that. So as the Elimination Chamber, if you're not familiar with it, it's basically cage match where this year they have seven contestants, and the winner moves on basically, I want to say, to headline within a chance to go and headline WrestleMania. So the competition contestants we have is Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus The Miz versus Finn Balor, my boy, versus Braun Strowman, and versus Elias, Walk with Elias. And then, of course, you got John Cena. They always do this every year before WrestleMania. They bring back a former somebody just so they can keep pushing the matches, get the lead way out there for the pay-per-views. And you never know, could work out with someone coming up like Finn Balor. I mean, if he can win the Elimination Chamber, boom, Finn Balor's name's pushed even more. So with that said, with the males contestant, oh, man, this one's really hard because you got a lot of, you know, good contestants out there in the Elimination Chamber. But my favorite to take it, I'm gonna throw it out there. I want to see Finn Balor win it. Honestly, do. I would not mind seeing Finn Balor win and then move on to WrestleMania and call it good. That's it. Because they already messed up once when they had Seth Rollins and, you know, the good old qual round, and they already pushed out who was going to be the final, you know, contestant. So what did they do? They fudged in a number two spot, and then that ended up with Finn Balor. Last Raw, there was a huge controversy on who actually won the match, whether it was a double pin with Finn Balor and Seth Rollins pinning Bray Wyatt, and it was just mayhem. Because after that, a lot of fans were like, dude, I just waste my time watching another Raw episode that had a potential of being good. And WWE came out and said, hey, this is the final two, Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. To me, I think it's going to come down between Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. And honestly, see Finn Balor win. I would not mind seeing Finn Balor as the Universal Champ. So you heard it here first. Finn Balor, that's my pick. So for the females, you got Sasha Banks versus Bayley versus Mickie James versus Sonya Deville versus Mandy Rose versus Alexa Bliss for the Women's Champions inside the Women's Chamber. This right here has a huge potential setup of an amazing females Elimination Chamber with the title on the line. Let me see. Out of this, can't really make my pick. I'm just going to leave a big question mark on it and see how it plays out, because lately the female storyline has been more exciting than the male storyline at that time. Because when they're pushing Braun Strowman and good old Kane and Brock Lesnar storyline, it had the potential to be good. But then how they just ended it with 40-second match, triple threat match with, you know, Braun Strowman, Kane, and Brock Lesnar, and it's like that. I was just like, okay, this storyline's definitely over with. So for the Female's Elimination Chamber, I don't know. Could go either or. So big old question mark on that. But then afterwards, we got the undefeated Korean babe, I like to call her. Not going to try to pronounce her name because I can't. Versus Nia Jax. Could her undefeated streak be contested? No. WWE is going to save her undefeated streak for Ronda Rousey. That is my projection. That's my prediction. I'm sticking with it. They're going to save it because after the match, Ronda Rousey signs her WWE contract in the ring. So you could see a big announcement of the next pay-per-view match between her and Ronda Rousey. Who knows? But I think that the WWE is going to save that undefeated streak for Ronda Rousey to destroy. Because if you think about it, Brock Lesnar, he ended Undertaker's undefeated streak in WrestleMania. Yeah, shock. People were like, oh my God. But I think they're saving this streak to end in the female series for Ronda Rousey. So if you have anything to say, give me a call at 215-383-5764. Add on to this, because, I mean, the female chapter of the Elimination Chamber sounds more exciting than the male's Elimination Chamber, if you ask me. If you don't agree, if you disagree, you want to talk about it, hit me up. So let's see. Let's go through the majority of the story of the headlines. I mean, they're talking about the streak. Could it end? I'm going to tell you no, because, like I said, they're going to save that streak for Ronda Rousey to end after she signs her WWE contract. Next pay-per-view match, that's going to be the one where Ronda Rousey ends the streak. Will 7 be someone's lucky number? I mean, they're saying, will 7? They've been stressing it all week. Is 7 going to be the lucky number? We could see contestant 7 win it. I mean, are they already hinting to us who's going to win it? I mean, lately WWE has been on the verge of ruining spoilers before the show even starts. So lately, that's the thing to watch out for. The number 7, they've been saying it all week. Number 7, is he going to do it? Is it going to be 7th day? It could be 7. I mean, Roland, The Miz, and Reigns, and Cena, and Balor have all held a top title in WWE before. But Strowman and Elias are still waiting for their chance to shine with the gold. I mean, I think WWE Universe wants to see Strowman in the main event, but at the same time, I think the WWE doesn't want to push him too far and too fast, because now with Brock Lesnar leaving, they could go many routes with Strowman. They can keep his storyline going. They could either say, okay, Strowman loses the Elimination Chamber, we got either Seth Rollins or Finn Balor moving on, and then out of those two, I see whoever wins that could be the next Universal Champion, and all of a sudden, boom, you can play Braun Strowman's character on the next character phase of the after WrestleMania. That, in my book, would be the best brand. Keep the Strowman storyline going, but don't have it going as Brock Lesnar's on the way out. Because after that, what else are you going to do with Braun Strowman? The first Women Elimination Chamber. This pay-per-view match, Elimination Chamber, is the first time ever for the females. I'm excited for it. I, at first, Royal Rumble, I was anti against it. Because I was like, oh my God, what is going to happen? This storyline can't take off. But after the Women's Royal Rumble, the storyline just took off. Like, more excitement than the males at times, if you ask me. It has just been amazing how WWE has super launched the females variant league, I would like to call it. They launched this females division like hell on high water. Excuse my language, like always, but you got Ronda Rousey coming in. That's going to add more fire into it, more drama, I would say. But at the same time, I'm just concerned that they might be pushing her too fast at a last-minute notice. So I'm going to go to a quick break. If you want to call and discuss anything, we got about good old 40 minutes almost left of the show. Give me a call, 215-383-5764, and we can discuss anything sports-wise that you want to discuss. And after that, when we come back, we'll keep discussing wrestling and a little bit of that. So, yeah, we'll be right back. Peeps, we're back. So I was looking through an article of changes to expect in the WWE after WrestleMania. Of course, they're saying Brock Lesnar moves away from the title picture. That comes with anything because they even came out and said they're not going to renew his contract and he wants to go back to the UFC. So good luck on that, Brock. I wish you nothing but the best. Can't wait to see a new image of the WWE Raw title, the Universe title. And another thing too, SmackDown and Raw are getting away from ownership of pay-per-view matches. So now it's going to be combined, which is exciting because to me, I would like to see the titles shift between shows. So, again, WWE is going through a whole reimage after WrestleMania. I'm excited for it. And they're also saying, predicting in Forbes magazine, Daniel Bryan is fired as GM and leaves the company. Could possibly be saying that this is an assumption. Last month, SmackDown general manager Daniel Bryan indicated that his time in WWE was running out, telling Sports Illustrated. So, it's huge. Daniel Bryan's time in the WWE might end up being done. I mean, we're going from the Yes Movement to can't wrestle no more because of an injury. So now, most likely, I might have to call it good and be retired. I mean, they're saying that be fired. So I don't know if he's not going to retirement. He's most likely just being let go. By all accounts, Bryan still has not been cleared to wrestle again. So his time is over with wrestling. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. He's not coming back. So with that said, they're going to say that Daniel Bryan's leaving SmackDown GM position. Then we have, let's continue on with the article. This is a pretty good article. The disappearance of part-timers. So part-timers are going to be dwindled away. The WWE is announcing today is that they're going to try to start phasing out small-time names just so the fact they don't have to ruin anyone's career, which is good. But basically they're saying that they're not going to be bringing back, like, you know, John Cena and all of them to do what they did this year with every year with WrestleMania. So basically part-timers are not going to be no more. So disappearance part-timers will not be used after WrestleMania, which is good because now they're going to give everyone a chance to get pushed. An influx of NXT talent. So next year, next storyline, we're going to be seeing a huge push of NXT trends. So the recent years, WWE is calling up number of NXT stars once WrestleMania is in the books. Last year, the group of promoted NXT starters include, you know, a lot of the top talent we have today. So next year, WWE is saying that they're going to make a bigger and larger push for the NXT next draft. So like I said, they're getting rid of part-timers, and they're going to start making a push for new faces. So this is going to be good for everyone's character so that no one gets a character, you know, stub. So like I said, this is good things that the WWE is moving forward to. AJ Styles is moving to Raw. That's what they're projecting. So it should say WrestleMania or before, then he might lose the title and then phases out a little bit and then goes into Raw. So they're saying that AJ Styles will most likely move to Raw after WrestleMania. So, I mean, that's going to be exciting to see some new blood, some charisma coming into the WWE Raw section right there. So those are the top storylines as of right now is what they're saying. I mean, I'm more happy that they're going to get rid of the part-time gig, you know, before WrestleMania. Cause to me, that kind of took away everyone's opportunity of a storyline or a push going on because everyone started focusing on John Cena, for example. Now that he's here, people are starting to be more focused on what his character is going to be doing. John Cena's done it all. Don't get me wrong. He's done everything. But I think the WWE needs to focus more on the younger characters. If you're going to survive as a corporation, you're going to have to survive as investing in your young guys. I mean, the military, that's how they survive. They invest in the young soldiers. So for a corporation like the WWE, for you to survive this long as you've been going, you have to invest into tomorrow. So like I said, that's some headlines right there I've been covering. I mean, WWE is going for a huge re-imaging after WrestleMania and after Brock Lesnar leaves. I mean, it's good and bad because the bad part is Ronda Rousey is going to get an auto push of ruining a streak and just get a title handed to her if you ask me. So before the show is over with, you want to call in? Call in. The number is 215-383-5764. So today we discussed NASCAR's reaction to Daytona 500, which was amazing in my book. Austin Dillon, number one right now, is going to Atlanta. Will he hold on to it? We may never know. We won't know until Atlanta. So my next show will be Sunday. We'll be discussing nothing but NASCAR and fantasy talk as well as we prepare for the Atlanta Speedway and for FIFA. Today, Manchester City plays their FA Cup game here at, I want to say, later on in the evening, I want to say. I can't pull it up because the computer's not letting me pull the schedule. So like I'm telling you, my biggest takeaway is Austin Dillon's storyline, Manchester City's domination in the FA Cup right now, and as well as I discussed the wrestling, WWE, the re-imaging that is going to be occurring after WrestleMania. I mean, this is a huge, huge news because every year after WrestleMania, WWE has failed to invest time into their younger guys. So they're starting to hint towards they're going to start investing in the youth. So that's good. NXT push coming soon. Keep an eye out for it. So I'm going to go to break real fast, and when I do, it's going to be a 30-second or less. So if you want to call in before the show's over, call in. We can discuss anything sports. 215-383-5764. We can discuss anything wrestling, FIFA, NASCAR, whatever you want. We'll be right back. All right, guys, before the show ends, I'm going to close it out with some good little positive news of NASCAR. I mean, Bubba Wallace is the first African-American. I hate to put a title on it, but they're labeling as first African-American to finish Daytona in the second position. So that's good news for Bubba as he's coming up in the NASCAR world, breaking records already. I see being the first ever. So hopefully he can be the first African-American to win next week. I mean, that's good news for Bubba because I saw the interview. He got emotional, a little touchy. I mean, if you haven't seen the video, go look at the video. It's a charm. I mean, this dude wears his sleeve on his shoulder. A lot of people are attacking him, saying, oh, he's not that good. But if you can finish second in the Daytona 500, you're good in my book. I mean, any NASCAR race, it's hard, especially the Monster Cup Series, because of the fact those are the world's number one drivers. Those are the best of the best, guys who go out and have already demonstrated they can win from dirt track, truck, to Xfinity, to now. So, good job, Bubba. Keep it up, man. I got you as my favorite going into this week into Atlanta. Keep it going. So, Danica is done with NASCAR. She's going over to Indy now. She wrecked out, of course. Giggle all you want. But she is the first female to be able to handle it with the boys. But for me, what she has done, she has opened up the lead way for female driving. We're going to start seeing a push in NASCAR for female drivers. Watch out, because in the coming years, you're going to start seeing them more. I mean, are they going to start looking for more winners? Most likely. But right now, the Monster Camping Truck, I mean, not the Monster Cup, but the Camping Truck Series, they have some couple females that give people run for their money. So keep your eyes out, folks. I mean, could be anything. Anything is possible in the world of sports, and that's what I love about it. So let me look up some Manchester City news as I'm doing my final wraparound for you guys, because all you soccer fans deserve it. I mean, who doesn't like, you know, soccer? Duh. Let's see, Manchester City news. Looking that up. So it's just old transfer news. So Man City to move Bernardo Silva. What? Let's check that out. This was published 5 hours ago. So Manchester City to move Bernardo Silva on Guardiola makes promise to £43.5 million signing. That is a pretty high signing, if you ask me. The Portugal international playmaker is yet to make his expected impact at the stadium, at the Etihad Stadium, but he will be given time in which to prove his worth. Pep Guardiola has vowed to keep Bernardo Silva at Manchester City for as long as he is manager, with the £43.5 million addition set to be given time to which prove his worth. So, Manchester City making some big pushes, man. Bernardo Silva, all right. So, if they can get him, game over for everyone else around us in the Premier League. I mean, that's, in my idea, that's the player they need. That's the guy they need. So, they're already a dominant force right now. But as we prepare for the FA Cup today, watch out for them, folks, because they're going to be making some noises and some lead ways. I mean, Manchester City has came a long way. They went from being, you know, number two, number three contender to having their days on the earth where it seemed like they couldn't win a game either, like Manchester United. But now I believe Manchester City soccer is on a pathway to coming back. I mean, yeah, it's too late in the Premier League to do anything. I mean, because Chelsea has that ridiculously godly amount lead right now in points. But next season, I see them at least winning the Premier League. But right now, I'm going to say it. Manchester United and Manchester City, those are my top two favorites to go really deep into the FA Cup tournament. I mean, yeah, the Champions League, Manchester City's in that too. I mean, at some point, you got to start asking yourself, when is the tournament schedule going to catch up to both teams? Because fatigue plays a huge factor, as we all know. So if you're constantly playing in the Premier League season, both tournaments, at some point your bench starts getting worn out and we should most likely start seeing fatigue. I mean, today we probably won't see a high star-studded card come out for their match, but I still think there's too much talent for Manchester City not to get the W in their match today. So you heard it first on me. My top two to go deep into the FA Cup is going to be Manchester United and, drumroll, Manchester City, peeps. All right, so that's the biggest thing. So as I wrap up the show, I just want to say that WWE is coming up with a huge makeover. Keep an eye out for it, especially in tonight's episode. Even though they're getting ready for the Elimination Chamber, start looking for key indicators. That's the biggest thing, okay? And also, too, NASCAR, I'll get you guys prepared Sunday. That'll be my next show for y'all. I'll get you guys prepared for NASCAR in Atlanta. I'll have that show live on this channel. You got to make sure you hit the follow reminder button so that whenever I go live on that show, it sends you an email or let's say, hey, this dude is on. So with that said, Sunday, 9 o'clock a.m. That will be my Sunday NASCAR show. We'll be covering news in Atlanta, be covering news around the drivers, and we'll be discussing fantasy talks as well. So with that said, I hope you guys have an amazing, amazing Monday. Don't let it get to you. I get it. It's Monday. No one enjoys it. So as I do my sound off bit, I just want to let you guys know I appreciate every single one of you. And join me again on Sunday, 9 o'clock, for some NASCAR talk. Again, later, dudes. Thank you.